Today we're tackling situational depression head on, the natural response to life's curveballs. We're going to explore its impact on personal, marital, and even parental life, as well as coping strategies that actually work. Let's be honest, my friends, we all struggle at times. And this episode wasn't just for my clients. Honestly, it was for me. Find out how I'm making it through and how you can too. Hey parents, welcome to Fulfillment Therapy. Do you want to raise your kids better and have a stronger marriage? Are you up late at night researching marriage and parenting tools and self-care tips? Do you start each day hoping for deeper connections and less chaos, but it ends with family arguments and going 12 different directions again? My name's Kendra, wife, mom, therapist, and growth enthusiast. It wasn't until I discovered how to fulfill my unmet needs that I was finally able to show up as my best self, as a spouse and parent. I realized that by meeting my needs, I could more fully meet the needs of my family with more energy and less resentment. In this podcast, I teach parents skills like boundary setting, prioritizing personal needs, communication, and claiming ownership. Just like my clients, you'll be shocked by the improvement in your marriage, parenting, and personal life when you focus on fulfilling your important unmet needs. Ready to prioritize yourself so you can quit mentally throat-punching people? Then grab those earbuds and head outside, and let's rock and talk. Welcome back to episode number 111, Life Lost Its Luster? Tackling Situational Depression in Ways That Work. My friends, this is a follow-up of our last episode that was all about navigating the unexpected trials that come our way. And this is kind of a follow-up or a step two to that because these things go hand in hand. And many of you may remember from the last episode that my husband lost his job and we are still managing the results of that. And as I'm going through these things, I'm reminded that I've seen my clients do these same things over and over again, and it reminds me to have more empathy. And I thought that these things would speak to you as well. Maybe your life has lost its luster. Maybe you feel gray and tired and less interested in things that you normally enjoy. Well, if this is you, this episode will help you today, just like it's helping me. I'm applying these exact same steps in my life. And as always, before we hop in, don't forget to check out fulfillmenttherapy.org for that one-on-one coaching. If you want a coach that has professional mental health experience and personal experience navigating many challenges like job loss, miscarriages, parenting struggles, financial troubles, death, abuse, and more, and you want someone that knows from experience how to move through those things in effective ways, then sign up now. Those rates are very reasonable, so get that spot now while those rates are still lower as we're rolling out this program. All right, are you ready for today's topic? Have you been feeling gray? Have you been feeling even maybe a little embarrassed about how you're feeling? And you recognize this is probably not clinical depression because it didn't happen for no reason and it's not this really prolonged thing, but it's this response to something that's happened in your life. Well, let's talk about what that might be. What is situational depression? Situational depression, sometimes called reactive depression, is a type of depression that's triggered by stressful life events. So I've mentioned some of these things already, but this can be the loss of a job. This can be divorce or financial problems or a serious illness or troubles with a child or something like that. The symptoms are similar to major depression, like feelings of sadness or hopelessness or that irritability, or even changes in your appetite or in your sleep patterns. You might also notice that you have difficulty concentrating or a loss of interest in activities that you once enjoyed. I think that's a common one that clients notice first. I noticed that a lot of the things that I loved felt more like work recently, like pickleball or even exercise or going on walks or being with friends. Those things just felt too tiring recently. Maybe this is you. And this is usually a limited time experience, and it often resolves once that stressful situation improves. For example, with me, once my husband gets more into a new job and that income is coming back in again, and it's not causing a lot of unknowns and a lot of turmoil in our lives, this will probably resolve more. Now let's talk about some other things that I've noticed with clients before. When clients have come in and recognized that they have situational depression, this isn't just the ones that I mentioned. This can also be things like miscarriages or hospital stays, or even as a stay-at-home mom, maybe feeling less fulfilled and happy with the monotony of your tasks, like laundry and dishes, that can just feel heavy and lonely at times. That can also be just minimal conflict over a longer period of time when it comes to marriage disconnection or intimacy issues. Like, all of these things can result in situational depression. Situational depression is a natural response to life's challenges, but it does not define us. It's a phase, but it's not our identity. All right, my friends, let's talk about how to cope with these things and its impact on relationships, because that's really what we want to know, right? Like, well, what do we do about it, especially when it affects our relationships? Well, luckily, there are several things that I have found and my clients have found that really help in managing that situational depression. First and foremost, give yourself permission to feel and process those emotions. I mentioned this in the last episode, but that is really important. So remember that escapism that I talked about in the last episode? Sometimes that's okay for a little while to just give yourself time until you're ready instead of forcing it when you're not quite there yet. But don't sit there too long, because I would say most people sit there too long. They justify it for too long. But give yourself a little bit to just sit there and hibernate for a little bit. I'm going to give you 7 quick tips that actually help with managing situational depression. So whether that's you or a loved one, you can use these tips. I'm going to try to elevate my voice a little bit more, because right now, even talking about these things, I feel like I want to go sleep. And I'm just digging in and trying to do the bare minimum right now, so I hope you have some empathy and some compassion for me today. Some patience. But set realistic goals. So break your tasks into smaller, more manageable steps. For example, I usually have quite full days with work, and I usually very much enjoy it. And the last few days, it feels so hard and so heavy. So I've given myself permission to make more realistic goals for this stage, which might be like, I'm just going to meet with one client today and I'm just going to do one podcast episode today, or something like that. Let yourself have realistic goals for this time period. Well, maybe you're not a podcaster or a therapist, so that could be something like, you know what, I'm just going to take care of the dishes in the sink and spend 10 minutes with really focused love and attention on my child today, my more attentive, needy child today. And I'm going to call that good. And the rest, I'm just going to let be. You know, it could just be like that for a little bit. It doesn't have to be such a rigid, high level of performance when your body wants to go into some level of hibernation. The second one is limit stressors. So identify and minimizes the sources of stress. So like right now, work might be a stressor for me when it's usually not. Or other things like cooking or cleaning or getting the kids to their different activities. I could reach out for more support from neighbors, from friends, from people in my church, from my husband, all of them, and just be like, hey, I'm needing a little extra help this week. I'm just not feeling well. I'm not feeling like myself. Depending on who it is, you can offer more or less information and just say, is it okay if I get some extra support this week? I'm just not quite there, but I know I will be soon. I just need a little more TLC this week, a little more tender, loving care. Number three, engage in enjoyable activities. So maybe that's shifting. Like for me, I talked about working out and being with friends and exercising aren't as enjoyable as they generally are. So instead of forcing that square peg into that round hole, like a friend just recently said to me, I could instead have some more compassion and just be like, what is a floor goal instead of that ceiling goal? Okay, maybe those things feel too hard, but I can walk around the neighborhood with my daughter, or I can listen to music while I clean the kitchen. Like something, well, that's not as much as an enjoyable activity, but maybe it's, I'm going to go get an appetizer with my favorite person and we're going to sit outside. Something like that. Maybe you're not quite feeling it. There's some level of like, okay, I know once I'm there, I'm going to enjoy it. Number four, practice mindfulness. I go back to this every single time and I'm almost sick of hearing it myself, but there's so many aspects of mindfulness that you can do. You can meditate, you can pray, you can reflect in a journal. You can just stay present and in the moment. You can do grounding techniques where you just notice the different things in the room. You can go on a gratitude walk. You can notice all the different senses in your body and just take note of them. There's lots of different ways to do this. All right, the next one. I'm going to stop counting them because I keep getting off. Maintain somewhat of a routine. So stick to as much as a routine as possible to give yourself that sense of stability during these times. So again, you don't have to be this high performer if you're always this high performer, but you can still get up at generally the same time and go to bed at about the same time and have dinner at the same time. Like try to have different things that are about the same so you don't get off track and just stay in bed all day. Okay, the last two. Express yourself creatively. Sometimes this is when we create the most meaningful things, whether this be writing or painting or music to express our thoughts, our feelings, and that helps us cope with the stress. Now, a lot of you might say, well, I'm not really creative. This can be anything. Like this can be cooking, this can be baking, this can be graphic design work, this can be journaling, or whatever it might be. The last one is stay connected. So maintain those connections with supportive people who uplift you and who validate your feelings, that are not scared off by your sadness or you feeling your feelings, but they lovingly hear you and accept you and help you through that without that judgment. All right, those are really effective things. And these are things that help me. And then the last thing I would add to that is just patience and compassion. Okay, so you're not your best self right now. You're not nailing all of the things. And I encourage you to remember a child. If you have a child, think of your oldest child. Would you shame bomb your child for not being their best all the time? Would you shame them and ridicule them and harp on them if they're having a bad week because something terrible happened in their life? No, of course not. Don't do that to yourself. Give yourself that space to just normalize this experience and remember that it has an expiration date, first and foremost. This too will pass. So be patient with yourself. Okay, I also want to briefly talk about how this can affect marriage and parenting. It can put a strain on marriage and parenting and increase conflict, especially because people can take things more personally if you're feeling sad or irritated or annoyed, and it can create even more emotional distance. And then this in turn can impact that intimacy or that connection and that support that you might be seeking and hoping for. If you're a parent, this also might affect your ability to engage with your kids. Maybe you don't want to be around them as much because you feel more irritable, and it's more difficult to give that emotional support or that stability to your kids. And like I just mentioned a second ago, maybe your kids also sense that change in your mood and behavior, and they personalize it. They wonder what they did wrong. And it starts to affect, as I've even said the last episode, the family dynamic more. Like maybe there's more teasing, maybe there's more acting out, maybe there's more neediness. And then that in turn, once you recognize the connections, you might feel more shame or sadness that maybe it's your fault and you're causing this and you're terrible. And if you were a good mom or wife, you wouldn't be doing these things. Well, the key to this is to remember this is part of the human experience, and communication is crucial to getting through this. If you openly express your needs and seek that support, that will vastly minimize the effects in your parenting and marriage that are negative or adverse. Remember, in the midst of situational depression, it's okay to pause. It's okay to hibernate for a bit and focus on self-care. This is not a sign of weakness, but a path to resilience. I don't know if many of you remember the seasonal depression episode that I spoke to a couple months ago, but there were very similar elements in that as well. Okay, now how do we move forward? You can always seek professional help. You do those self-care activities that I mentioned, and you set boundaries. I also mentioned that last episode as well. Recognize that shame and let go of that self-judgment as you are healing, as you are being patient and loving to yourself. Also, when you are ready, implement those positive changes that will foster growth and resilience. Healing from depression requires compassion, patience, and proactive steps towards self-improvement. It's about embracing the journey of growth and then coming back stronger than ever before. Remember also another episode I talked about, post-traumatic growth. This is where that growth comes after these challenges that are part of life. We can cultivate that resilience and that well-being by focusing on those tips that I mentioned earlier, those seven tips that I said, and I'll put those in the show notes as well. If you want to maintain that mental well-being long-term, there might be some other things to consider tweaking. There were times in my life when I had situational depression that I ended up deciding to go back to school or to change a job or to take a necessary vacation or maybe take a class or spend more time in prayer or meditation or take more time away from home. Like there's a time when I had to have weekly appointments where I would have a girls' night because I was not getting out enough and I was depressed as a burnt out parent. So that became my non-negotiable for a while because I was running on fumes and I needed to not be needed for a little while. So instead of shaming yourself about this experience, get curious. Like, okay, I'm struggling right now. What need is not being met here? If I am equal to my other family members, and if this were somebody else in my family, what would I recommend to them? What is it that I need to thrive and become my best self? What is it that I need to find greater fulfillment? Allow this time for stillness to be a time for reflection, and then celebrate your progress. Even if it feels very slow, like a little snail, it is still progress. And this insight is going to be what helps you soar. So remember that this is a gift. I'm remembering all these other episodes that I did, but I also did one on the gift of depression. Well, this is what it is. It gives you insights that you couldn't have otherwise if you didn't allow yourself to slow down. Through the winters of our situational depression, we discover our strength and our capacity for growth. My friends, I wish you luck in your journey of navigating your own situational depression or maybe it's not even for you, but for a loved one. Take these insights and these tips and use them. Utilize them. And that main takeaway is have compassion and patience for yourself and the journey. Until next time, my friends. Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, chances are someone else would too. Would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who's looking for greater family fulfillment? And while you're sharing, tell me what you think about the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It refuels me when I hear this podcast is helping you, no matter what your house or your hair looks like. I'll meet you back here every Monday and Thursday morning for more episodes. Until then.